Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 297. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. It's good. Cannot complain. We are full swing baseball mode. It's here. It's back. Minor league's fully back. And the injuries keep piling up. So that's unfortunate. But we're going to hope that we can have a injury-free week coming up with pitchers. We just need to keep everybody healthy because there's not going to be anybody left pitching at this point because most of the high-end guys you drafted either are injured or they're Hunter Brown.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I mean, watch like some elbow inflammation or elbow soreness come out for Hunter Brown after giving up what seemed like 1,000 runs today, but 9 earned and 2/3 of an inning. Definitely not, you know, not the start you were looking to see. Like I was telling you, it was weird because I had posted something else on Twitter, and then the first two comments immediately were about Hunter Brown, which I thought was kind of weird. Then I went over to the box score. I was like, oh, that's why people are asking about Hunter Brown, because he's absolutely terrible today. So, yeah, let's hope there's no more injuries, though, because we've already had enough of that for, you know, at least a few months. We've already hit our quota. So let's hope there's no more coming out here. But we're talking a lot of hitting today, though. We did a pitcher-centric episode last time, which made sense. Now we're going over to the hitting side because there's a lot of guys off to hot starts, cold starts. We'll dig into it all, who we worried about, who we not, who we buying low on, et cetera, et cetera. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And of course, check out all the other great stuff going on over at Rotoballer. A lot of great content, tools, a lot of fun stuff to help you win this fantasy season. Use the code TOOLSHED, get you 10% off any premium package, baseball, basketball, football, whatever you want. Rotoballer's got it over at rotoballer.com. Of course, we got to start with the biggest news of the last couple of days. And thankfully, it is a positive news story with Jackson Holliday getting the call up to the Baltimore Orioles. Went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts in his debut, but did pick up his first RBI on Wednesday night against my Boston Red Sox. And, you know, obviously we know the long-term expectations for Holliday are extremely high. Second-generation star has been in the spotlight ever since he was, you know, very young, being Matt Holliday's son, you know, number one overall pick, phenomenal minor league numbers. But what are you expecting out of him this year, Chris? Obviously he looked really well in spring training. Got sent down, kind of surprising, but, you know, only for a few weeks, thankfully. And now he's back up. For 2024, what type of value are you expecting to get out of Jackson Holliday?
Yeah, I think that when you look at Holliday, he's a really safe floor. He may not jump off the page and be like an elite power speed guy right away, but I do think what he's going to give you is really high on base skills, hit for a decent average, give you some pop, and a little speed too. I don't think that he's going to like come up and light the world on fire because he's 20 years old. I mean, this is an advanced 20-year-old at the end of the day. I mean, he's very talented, and there's a reason that he's in Baltimore at 20 years old. But if we got, let's just say, rest of season, 15 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 270 average, and a 350 OBP, would you be upset with that? So 15, 10, 270, 350.
Would I? No. Would the general population? Probably.
I think so, too. I think people would be upset.
Yeah. Even that's obviously very solid, but given the high prospect pedigree, obviously, it's a very high prospect pedigree. I think people are expecting a lot more than that. And my expectations for him, I'm right in line with you. I was thinking like 13, 14, 15 home runs, solid average OBP, obviously. But I think the speed is the X factor here. Is he stealing 10? Is he stealing 20? I mean, I think that'll be kind of be the big swing in his value this year. See how much they're going to let him run initially. Obviously, he has the speed to steal 20 plus over the remainder of the season. But does he run that much? Obviously, he wasn't doing a whole lot of running in spring training. But, I think that's going to be the big X factor here. But I think, top 125-ish value. So I put out the poll from the Toolshed account yesterday. I think most people had him like the top 125, 150 range. Not many put, top 50, top 100, which I think obviously he has the opportunity to be, but, maybe not this year. I think it'll be, like you said, he won't set the world on fire. Obviously, he's got to give you something. I mean, obviously, one of the highest floors in all of the minor leagues, even at the young age that he is. So I think you can expect at least top 150 value. And if you get top 100, I'd be happy with that. But, and then, maybe he comes with dual eligibility as well. We'll see on that. See what your platform has him at, obviously second base, maybe a little bit shortstop as well, depending on the platform. But yeah, I think you'll get a good all-around production. It's not elite right out of the gate. But, as soon as he got the call and we were all tweeting about it, a question I got a lot was, all right, now who? It's always, all right, who's next? Next man up. Yeah. And, obviously, Baltimore is still very crowded. I mean, I think the easy answer I want to say Coby Mayo. I'm not 100% sure he's like one of the next couple that are the big impact guys. Obviously, Cameron Arrow's coming back from being hurt. So at this point, probably at least the next one, probably Paul Skeens. Is that who you're kind of thinking it is, Chris?
I think it's Paul Skeens. I think that it's a matter of weeks at this point, if we're being honest. I do think that he probably gets a couple more starts in AAA. And honestly, it's just to stretch him out enough. Like, I don't think that they're going to bring him up. Like with just throwing three innings. I think he was three innings his last start, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that Skeens probably goes four in his next start and just throwing a dart is probably four. And then hopefully he builds up to five by the end of the month because he's going three in both of his starts so far this year. He was scheduled to throw yesterday and I'm not sure he did. So I guess this is actually a couple days. When you're listening to this, but he was scheduled to throw on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So regardless, I do think that he's up very soon. And that 1-2 punch with Jones and Paul Skeens is going to look really, really good. I'm excited for that because Jared Jones absolutely looks legit and Paul Skeens is going to be right there with him. So,
yeah, I think Mitch Keller might be the three there in the not too distant future. Yeah. And that's no knock on Keller, obviously a solid arm, but man, Jones obviously has been pitching very well, and Skeens has ace upside. So, when you get Keller at your three, that could be a pretty good Pittsburgh team if they can get enough hitting as well. But, yeah, I do think Skeens is the next one up. And, yeah, it sounds like, Martin Sokolsky, our buddy, was posting about it. He was trying to go see Skeens to start, but there's been some bad weather in the area, so I think they've just kind of been holding off on throwing Skeens the last couple of days. Rightfully so. You don't want to have your top, your prized prospect get hurt early on, but yeah, he's probably the next one up that, the high impact guys. I do think Cameron Arrow is, not in AAA for very long. It'll be, you know, obviously a lot of injuries already with Tampa Bay. You know, they're starting, you know, Caballero. You got Brendan Lowe's injured again. You know, shocking. I know, but he's always. I think he's been hurt like three times already this year. It's like, and never ending with him. But so I do think Cameron Arrow's up, you know, within the next couple of weeks, probably by the end of April. Same with Skeens. I think late April. Mayo, I don't know. I mean, Westberg has been, you know, fine, not good, not bad, but fine. So not enough to like lose his job quite yet, but Mayo has been raking. So I do think Mayo is up soon as well, and probably Joey Loprafito up. I know he's not as quite as sexy as, you know, these other names we're mentioning here, but I do think he's up fairly early as well, probably, you know, by the end of April or even sometime in May or so, in that time frame. So those are the next couple. Another pitcher, I don't think we see Tiedemann's in AAA right now. He got a lot of whiffs today, but still giving up, you know, too many walks, too many home runs. So I'm not sure that his call-up is necessarily imminent. So outside of Skeens, I think Christian Scott actually is up really soon, too. He looked phenomenal the other day in his last start for AAA Syracuse, 10 strikeouts over five innings. Only give up the one run, and I do think he's up pretty soon, too. So after Skeens on the pitching side, I do think it's going to be Christian Scott, who I obviously like a lot as well. Anybody else you wanted to throw into the mix here, Chris?
No, I think that those are all really, really good names. I'm really stoked about Christian Scott. I think that he should be up soon. I'm thinking that he could step in if he's one of the best pitchers already in the Mets rotation. So, I mean, he's looked so good every start. And I think that that's one that will be up before you know it. Looking at like other names, I think Loprafito is certainly one, as you mentioned, probably just a matter of time before Caminero. Yeah, I think that we'll certainly see some of those guys up soon and raking. We're going to have to crown a new number one prospect at some point in the next couple of months, because that will be, you know, looking at the top four, I'll probably lose their eligibility pretty soon. So I'm curious who takes that spot. Like, that's something at least we're thinking about at this point, because I mean, right now Langford's going to graduate, Caminero, Holiday, and Churio will all graduate. Carter will graduate. Like, all these guys will be Carter might have already graduated, I'm not sure, but who will be the new number one?
I mean,
James Wood looks like the early favorite.
Yeah, I was gonna say it kind of the two front runners right now, I'd say, are probably the two from Washington with Cruz and James Wood, who was just a man on fire today. He's been on fire for most of the season so far. I mean, Mayo probably in that discussion as well, but does he get to like number one status? And doesn't really run enough, but yeah, I think Cruz, James Wood, and Lawler's hurt. He'll probably still be a top five guy. You know, Jenkins, you know, is hurt already. You know, he's only had the one plate appearance. So yeah, I don't really see any other names jumping up that high. You know, maybe Lazaro Montes is off the really hot start, but I don't think he's that, like, top five level. Maybe Chase DeLauder. I mean, he's off to a little bit of a slower start, but obviously have high hopes for him. So, I think front runners right now are the two guys from Washington, and maybe it's James Wood. Obviously, he's been very, very impressive to start the season. But, yeah, that's the thing. I was just kind of looking at my list here. And just going down through my list right now, you know, Langford debuted, Holiday debuted, Churio debuted, Caminero debuted, Lawler debuted, Cruz, you know, probably mid-season, Evan Carter debuted, DeLauder, you know, soon, Wood mid-season, Marte debuted, Mayo soon, Jason debuted, Keith debuted, and then it gets to some of the younger guys. But so far, was that 9 of my top 13 have already debuted, and the other 4 probably debut by the All-Star break. So that's really exciting time now, and it's going to be a massive shakeup at the top of our rankings here, you know, mid-season or so. Moving on here, so some other hot starts at the major league level so far on the hitting side. Spencer Steer, I mean, everyone's talking about, you know, there's a lot of fun young guys on Cincinnati that are more buzzy than Spencer Steer, but man, he has just been so incredibly rock solid for that team. While a lot of the other hitters have their massive peaks and valleys, or they're hurt or suspended, Steer's been the constant there, for at least for the young guys. Last year, as, you know, his rookie season, 23 home runs, 15 steals, hit 271 with a 356 OBP. This year, 372, 471, 721 through his first 51 plate appearances, 10 runs scored, 3 home runs, 2 steals, and really has made a lot of improvements across the board. Yes, it's still very early, but hard hit rate way up so far, 55.5%. Barrel rate way up as well. K rate is down, still walking over a 10% clip. You know, a lot of good so far. You know, zone contact's up. Chase, you know, is still pretty solid. Whiff is down. Again, 51 plate appearances, but a lot of good there. And, you know, I think it's time to start talking about Steer, Chris, as, you know, probably like a, you know, at least in the top 50 overall discussion for dynasty rankings.
He's surging for sure. And, you know, he's coming off a really good season last year too. And I think people kind of question whether it was legit or not, you know, looking at the profile, like, could it sustain? And so far, I have to say that it looks even better what Steer has done. I mean, you look across the board and everything kind of just looks the part. I mean, the contact rates are up. The zone contact rate's up 3%. The chase rate's up, but I don't care. It's not up that much. I actually like it because he's being a little bit more aggressive swing-wise, and I'll take that. You know, he's swinging less at the first pitches, but he's being a little bit more aggressive. He's making much more contact. Like, the overall contact rate is up 6 percentage points. And I know it's early, but, like, contact percentage and swing rate begin to stabilize. Swing rate begins to stabilize at about 50 plate appearances and contact rate at about 100 plate appearances. So we're at 50 for Steer, so I'm curious if these swing rates stick. You know, looking at the exit velocities, they look good. I mean, same spot as last year, but there's more barrels because he's hitting the sweet spot a little bit more often. We're talking an 11% barrel rate to this point, which is really solid. Hard hit rate, really good. He's not striking out. He's walking. I think that Steer is legit. I certainly think he plays up in OBP league. I'm not sure I want to go top 50 on him yet, but I do think that at the end of the day, like, the OBP formats, he's probably like top 75 for me. And he certainly cleared the top 100 mark, which was already close in an average league. Maybe he's closer to like 75 in an average league and 60 in an OBP league for me right now. But everything does look legit.
Yeah, I think he's just going to be a guy that continues to be undervalued a little bit because he's not flashy. You know, and he kind of gets overshadowed by Ellie, by Noel V, by even, you know, Will Benson, McLean, you know, once he's back healthy, Hunter Green, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't think I have him in my top 50 quite yet, but I think he's getting pretty damn close. I think I have him like in the 70 range right now, and probably will have that tick up a little bit before I post my next update here in the next week or so. So yeah, Steer is a great target right now. I think he's still, you know, again, kind of undervalued, and the perceived value hasn't quite caught up to where it should be so far. Next guy here on the list, CJ Abrams, a guy who I will admit, I mean, obviously it's still 40 plate appearances, but I did not think that he would take a step forward this year in power. I thought he'd take a step back, but that has not been the case so far. So as of now, I'm wrong on Abrams. We'll see how he trends, but barrel rate way up, 14.3%. Average exit velocity up 4 miles an hour. Hard hit rate's about the same, but he's even walking a little more too. I mean, still below average walk rate, but 7.5%, much better than 5.2%. He's hitting more fly balls and line drives this year, which is good to see. You know, contact rates are still pretty solid, improved the whiff rate as well. And he's got 3 home runs and 3 steals so far in those 40 plate appearances. 306, 359, 611 slash line. I mean, if Abrams is, I still don't think he's going to hit 30, but if Abrams is just like, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25 home runs, somewhere in that range, to go along with all the speed that he has, even if the speed takes a step back, let's say he's 25, 40. I mean, with a, you know, solid average, 260, 270, which where he looks like he might trend this year, that's putting him in top 25 discussion. So, yeah, as of now, I'm willing to say that I was wrong about Abrams' power.
Yeah, it looks like I might end up eating some crow here too, because ultimately he's been really, really good. And it shouldn't be shocking. I mean, we are talking about a 23-year-old that has a frame that's kind of built out for to add power. We know that he was rushed originally. He had a great year last year, 18 homers, 47 steals. This year, it looks like he may even take another step forward. And if he becomes a 25 home run bat, then this is a first round caliber player. Right now, the EVs are pretty off the charts good. I mean, he's looking like a power hitter. And what are we like? I just never would have thought that we would see CJ Abrams with a 91.5 mile an hour average EV and a 14.3% barrel rate. He's hitting the sweet spot incredibly often. That sweet spot rate is up about 14 percentage points. The launch angle looks good. Hitting the ball hard. I don't know, man. I think Abrams just might be legit, and I might end up regretting not getting more of Abrams when I had the opportunity to do so, because the contact skills have remained. They still look good. The overall contact rate is actually up, and the power's come, and he still has speed too. So Abrams looks very, very legit to me.
Yeah, no, he absolutely does for sure. And yeah, 25 home runs, like that's the difference between if he gets the average up a little bit, you know, from the 245 range where he's been, gets that power up into the, you know, low to mid 20s. Yeah, we're definitely looking at a potential top 15 player, maybe. I think that's really the upside we're looking at here. And especially once you get, you know, some reinforcements in the lineup behind him with Cruz and James Wood later this summer, and more guys to drive him in, because the lineup is still kind of lackluster behind him right now. Maybe he's a guy that eventually, he hit 83 runs scored last year, couple bit bigger bats behind him. Maybe he's a guy that's over 100 and moving forward, especially if he's going to get a little bit of higher OBP than he's shown in the past. Next guy here, another young, up-and-coming shortstop that, you know, could be joining the elite ranks this year as well. Anthony Volpe, who had maybe the most disappointing 2020 season you'll ever see, especially from a rookie last year, 21 home runs and 24 steals, but the 209 average, sub-300 OBP really dragged down the overall perception of his rookie season. But when you looked at the contact rates for him last year, you know, they were, I mean, they weren't great, but they definitely weren't indicative of a guy that hit 209. I mean, zone contact last year was a little below league average, but 80.5%. You know, whiff rate wasn't terrible. Chase rate wasn't terrible. They were both around 28%. So you knew that the average would tick back up. And this year it has in a big way, 372 so far, with a 460 OBP, two home runs, three steals, and 51 plate appearances. And zone contact up to 89.9%. Chase rate down, whiff rate down, walk rate up, K rate down. Quality of contact still kind of right where it was last year. So I don't think there's going to be another, you know, power bump here. I think he's going to be like a low 20s guy for the most part. But if that comes with 25 to 30 steals and more like a 260 average, he's another guy that could be, you know, maybe not as high as Abrams. I think Abrams has the higher ceiling. But, you know, this probably could be a top 40 or so dynasty guy. So, yeah, and just got moved up in the lineup as well. If he's going to hit first, at least a little bit in front of like Judge and Soto, a lot of runs scored there for Volpe. So definitely like what I've seen so far from him this year.
Yeah, same. I think that he ultimately, I thought he had a good year last year. I mean, 21-24, starting shortstop for the Yankees at a young age is, you know, not easy to do. But the biggest thing with Volpe is that he's seemingly taking a major step forward with contact. The zone contact rate is up from 80.5% to 90%. The overall contact rate is up from 72% up all the way to 88%, which is crazy, crazy jump. So that's obviously pretty impressive to see that kind of step forward. And I just think Volpe might be legit. You know, the contact rates obviously are a major improvement. He's chasing a lot less. You know, those things are beginning to stabilize. And I think that looking at this, that maybe he is taking that step forward. Obviously, we want to see a bit more power. But right now, even if he doesn't get to a ton more power and it's just a 20 home run bat that can steal you 20 bases, I think there's going to be some value in that. So Anthony Volpe is certainly somebody that I'm highly interested in if you can get him still, because I think the cost might be down enough where you'll be able to, you know, get him at an affordable price, and he returns some really good value. he was a good dynasty investment all offseason, just given the fact that, well, people were down on him for no apparent reason. But now when we look at Volpe and we look at the profile, it's like, okay, I'm in. I think that Volpe could just really be that guy that's consistent 2020 threat that may now give you a decent average because of the gains in the contact rates. And if he does, then it will be a lot of fun to watch and see what happens.
All right, keeping it in the American League East for a slightly older player, 28 years of age, Tyler O'Neill is going all Barry Bonds to start the season, hitting 324, 468, 811 so far, six home runs, tied for the league lead, though he only has seven RBI because nobody's getting on base in front of him in Boston for some fun reason, but everything you could have wanted from O'Neill to start the season, he's doing, and then some. This is a guy that I was preaching to pick up in the offseason because, you know, change of scenery guy for sure. He kind of fell out of favor there in St. Louis. And at the same time, this guy, you know, through the struggles in 2022 and 2023, still was making improvements. You know, the zone contact has gone up the last 3 years in a row. Whiff rate's been trending down. Chase rate's been trending down. Like, he became a better hitter. You know, walk rate up, K rate down. You know, even back during his big year in 2021, he struck out 31% of the time. Then it went down to 27%, 25%, 22%. Everything is trending in the right way, and he hasn't lost any of that massive power. And as a guy that's always able to, you know, elevate consistently, especially with his pull side, I loved the fit here in Boston. I mean, is he going to be a top 10 player the rest of the year? No. But could he return to where he was in 2021? Absolutely. I mean, health is still the, you know, X factor here, as is with everybody these days, but assuming he could stay healthy, you know, this is a guy that could get back to, you know, maybe have his career high in home runs and flirt with 40 if he can stay healthy and add, you know, maybe double digit steals, solid average OBP. You know, I'm all in on O'Neill right now. I mean, it's gonna be hard to get him right now, but, you know, a lot of what he's doing is very legit for sure.
I agree. I think that, you know, we've seen Tyler O'Neill be elite in the past. I mean, 2021, he hit 34 homers, stole 15 bases. He was very high end then. And he's still in his prime, 28 years old. So it's not shocking at all to see, you know, Tyler O'Neill really take off. I think the change of scenery was good. I mean, it's ultimately really good spot for him in Boston, in which he's hitting for power. He's still got the speed. The contact skills look good. He's taking walks at a high clip. I think just overall, you know, you couldn't have got a better fit than Boston for Tyler O'Neill, who's rocking a 24% barrel rate right now, the best in baseball. I mean, it's kind of odd, though, because his max EV is like 106.7, which, whatever, if he's barreling the ball, it doesn't matter. He has like just stupid good numbers across the board. I'm very in on Tyler O'Neill, and if he can stay healthy, he certainly looks like a top 100 dynasty asset.
Yeah, like he's still only 28 years old, so he probably still got another handful of good years out of him. Hopefully we can keep him in Boston here for the next few, as I think this is going to be a really good fit and a guy that I think is already becoming a fan favorite in Boston. So yeah, really, really happy with Tyler O'Neill so far. And luckily I was able to get a couple of redraft shares and I think one dynasty share. So at least I'm capitalizing on some of this early season hot streak from Tyler O'Neill. Another, you know, more veteran player off to a really hot start this year is Christian Yelich, who's almost looking like, you know, MVP caliber Yelich from a few years ago. Five home runs and 45 plate appearances already. Only had 19 last year and 14 the year before that. Slashing 316, 409, 737. I mean, the EV is actually down overall. Hard hit rate's right in line with last year, but the barrel rate is way up from 9.2%. to 16.7%. Launch angle is up about 8.5 degrees. And the ground ball rate, as of right now, would be the lowest of his career, with the exception of 2019, which is the only other year he's ever been below a 50% ground ball rate. I mean, Chris, I know it's very early on him, but do you think we're going to, you know, be in store for maybe the biggest power year from Yelich we've seen since his MVP days?
I think so, and I think it just largely has to do with the ground balls. I mean, you look the years that he has had low ground ball rates, the results have come. The 2019 season was obviously his elite season, in which he hit 44 home runs. And you look at the ground ball rate then, and it was in the 40% range, 42.8. This year, 43% ground ball rate. Hopefully, we see this stick. It normally takes about 29 games, 80 balls in play, for ground ball rates to stabilize. But we've seen Yelich be able to do this in the past, and I really think that he's doing it right now. I think that Christian Yelich looks elite, and I think that he may give us a first-round caliber season. I know Vlad Sedler always does his this year's Christian Yelich. It might just be Christian Yelich this year, coming back in his age 32 season, looking the part, and being elite. So I'm very excited what Yelich can do.
I gotta tell Vlad that. That'd be great. Like, this year's Yelich is Yelich again. A plot twist to his very informative article that he does every single year. And more often than not, Vlad hits on him. So I think, yeah, this year he picked Jazz Chisholm. So we'll see. Obviously, Jazz is a very fun player. But yeah, Yelich, you know, the one that started this whole thing for Vlad in that article, is, yeah, off to a very hot start. But another Christian that's not off to a hot start is Christian Encarnacion Strand, who is, you know, 154 right now, one home run and 54 plate appearances. Just, you know, he's hitting the ball hard, but not really doing much with it, not walking really at all. And we knew that. We knew he was more aggressive, but a 1.9% walk rate so far, 167 OBP, and, you know, whiffing a lot, chasing a lot. You know, that's the thing. Like, he was always been aggressive, and that chase rate is really getting to him right now. You know, whiff rate actually isn't terrible. It is below average, but not terrible. But, you know, I do think there's some, you know, a rebound here to be had, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's super early to say he's got a rebound, but I still think he's going to have a really good year, because the zone contact rate is actually pretty good right now, 85.5%. And as I mentioned, the power metrics are still pretty good, 45% hard hit rate, 92 mile an hour average exit velocity, 10.5% barrel rate. It's just the lack of walks and the super high chase rate, which is really just limiting what he can do. So if he can kind of correct that a little bit, you know, everything else is still there, still pretty good. So I'm not, you know, if we're doing like a worry meter here, to get 1 to 10, I'd say it's still a 3. I think it's still very early, still very talented. We saw that from what he did in the minor leagues, and then what he did last year with Cincinnati. There's really no one that's going to take a spot right now with all the injuries and everything on that team. So I would buy low on Encarnacion Strand if possible.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him, and it's kind of surprising that he is off to such a bad start. But I don't want to overreact yet. I'm still looking at Encarnacion Strand and thinking that he can be all right. I think that this kind of profile, you know, can still work. He's still barreling the ball up. He's still hitting the ball extremely hard. Yeah, I think that he will be all right. So CES, I think, is a decent buy, despite what you're seeing right now. I think the contact rates actually will be okay, because the zone contact is up. 85.5% is up from 81.7 last year. The overall contact rate is up a little bit too. So I think he's going to be all right. I think he's running into some bad luck right now. And you'll see much better days ahead for Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Now, who would you rather buy low on right now? If you had to, you know, go after one of these three guys, because they're all three, you know, younger first basemen that have a lot of potential, between Christian Encarnacion Strand, Vinny Pasquantino, and Spencer Torkelson, who would you rather invest in right now, Chris?
I still think Vinny P. Like, I know that everybody's like in panic mode about him, but I think Vinny P is probably the best long-term. Shoulders are weird. Sometimes shoulders take a little longer to come back from. But I think that at the end of the day, I think Vinny P is going to be all right. He's the one I'd bet on long-term.
Yeah, and he's still showing elite contact right now, elite approach, more walks than strikeouts so far. And you look at zone contacts, 94.2%. Whiff rate 11.9, so still doing what he was doing before. And yeah, shoulders, you know, tend to zap power a little bit. He did have a home run the other day, which is nice to see. So I think that will be a little bit slow to come back, but same time, exit velocity is actually right in line with last year. His max is actually up from last year. Hard hit rate is down. He only has the one barrel so far, but I think it'll be a kind of a slow burn to get him back to where we kind of want him to be. But long term, I think he's still going to be, like, my long term expectations on him have not changed. I think he's still going to be, you know, high average, high OBP guy, and probably in the, you know, 25 ish home run range long term. So definitely still willing to buy right now because the perceived value is still pretty low on him. Let's round up the show with a pair of Nolans. We had a pair of Christians, now a pair of Nolans. Nolan Jones and Nolan Gorman. Nolan Jones probably is the early frontrunner for most disappointing player in fantasy. Guy that was being drafted as a top 50 pick or close to it. Obviously, after a 2020 year last year in just 424 plate appearances, where he also slashed 297, 389, 542. But right now, you got 157, 246, 235, and a big fat goose egg in that home run column. But Chris, he's still hitting the ball hard. EV is actually up from last year. Hard hit rate's actually up 8.7% from last year. It's at 50%. That's still encouraging. Zone contact's up. Chase is better. Whip is better. So outside of the, you know, downright terrible surface stats, there's a lot of encouraging improvement so far, but the one massive negative is his 40.4% strikeout rate. And he's being even more passive than usual. That's going to factor into it, at least to some degree. So are you kind of focusing on some of those improvements right now and willing to buy low on Jones? Or do you see a bigger cause for concern here, given how he's kind of reverting back to more passive ways and striking out way too much?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly really concerned coming into this year, just given the fact that his zone contact rates were so bad. Even in that really good year last year, it was a 71.5% zone contact, which is like bottom of the barrel, like worst in the league kind of zone contact rates. You should expect it to be like, you know, anything below 80 is a little bit concerning in the zone. At 71.5, not good at all. The interesting thing is he's up to 74.5 this year, but you mentioned he's just kind of swinging less. The chase rate's down, the swing rate's down, the contact rate overall is actually better, but he's just not being aggressive enough, and I think that's hurting him. So I think that, obviously, I think he bounces back. I do believe that. I mean, his first pitch swing rate's 15.8%. We probably need a second and third pitch swing rate for him too to kind of see, which probably not very high, but I'd venture to say that first pitch swing rate is probably one of the lowest in baseball right now. So I don't know. I look at this profile with Jones. I think it's pretty volatile. I think that what you saw last year from the power speed standpoint, all right, I can buy into that to an extent, but I just couldn't buy into the 297 batting average or even the 390 OBP. Even though he does play good in the OBP league, I think you're probably looking at more of like a 250 hitter. That means he's probably going to be like a 340 to 350 OBP guy, if all kind of translated. But at the end of the day, I do want to see Jones be a little more aggressive and hope that things turn around. If you want to buy him, now's probably the time to do so.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird to think about like having a guy be more aggressive to lower the K rate, but that can translate because you get yourself in too many two-strike counts. And yeah, I'd love to see if that stat even exists. I mean, I'm sure it does somewhere. You can figure it out somehow. But yeah, there's a swing rate on like the first two or three pitches of the at-bat, you know, further than just the one-pitch strike raise. I think Jones would be very low on that as well. But yeah, I didn't think that the, you know, he's going to be a 20-plus steal guy every year. You know, still has, you know, good speed and athleticism, so double-digit steals for sure. Still think he's 25-plus home runs. But yeah, I think it's kind of what we said during the offseason too, that we didn't think that he'd be a near 300 guy. But you know, even if he's still 250, 25 and 10, something like that, still a, you know, top 100 player. So you know, maybe we went too high in rankings. He went too high in ADP. You know, sure, hindsight's 20/20. But I think there's still a decent player to be had here. That is better than what he's shown so far. And a lot of those metrics that we just rattled off kind of proves that. But next Nolan here, I'm not quite as bullish on. And that's Nolan Gorman. Who, you know, the power is always there with him. You know, barrel rates have been above 14% every year, including this year. although his EV is down nearly 6 miles an hour and hard hit rate down over 16% overall, and he's striking out more so far this year as well. Three home runs so far, that's good, but 213, 302, 447 slash line. Chris, I'm wondering, you know, is there going to be a point this season, maybe even the first half of the season, where Gorman's no longer a full-time player? I mean, they have Thomas Ajayi, who is not tearing up the ball in AAA right now, but he could be a guy that could factor in at some point soon. Like, do you think Gorman is in fear of becoming more of a, like a strict platoon guy, or maybe even losing more playing time than that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, we got a lot of flack for this one in the preseason. Like, I don't fully believe in Nolan Gorman outside of his power. Like, yeah, he certainly plays up in an OBP league, but man, the contact skills just aren't really there, and they really haven't been there either. You talk about like Nolan Jones zone contact, like right there with him is Nolan Gorman, and the overall contact rates are much worse than Nolan Jones were. So Gorman is at least a little more aggressive, but still it's not working at the end of the day. I mean, the contact is pretty horrendous when you look at it. You know, right now the overall contact rate's at like 63.5%, and his zone's at 75%, which is actually up a little bit from last year. But it's just not there. He's striking out too much. I don't know. I am a little weary of it. The Cardinals are interesting. There's a lot of depth here. Gorman is playing second base every day, but it might be a matter of time before they give, like you mentioned, Thomas Ajayi some run. I mean, Ajayi's consistent. He hits the ball. I mean, I know Ajayi hasn't been off to a terribly hot start, and maybe they just want the power from Gorman in the lineup, which I can see. But right now, yeah, this lineup is really struggling. And I think that at the end of the day, I don't know. I could see Gorman potentially losing out on a little more time if things don't improve, and we see, you know, we see Thomas Ajayi get hot in AAA, yeah, he could be up. And there's other guys looming where they have talent, but Gorman's going to have to take some steps forward.
Yeah, and he's not going to be able to rely on a lot of time at DH either, because you know Wilson Contreras has been playing there a good amount so far, which has opened up more time for Ivan Herrera, who's been really really hot so far. And you know Lars Nootbaar just came back; he'll probably DH some as well. So it's not like he can, you know, slot over to DH if you know they want to give some time to Ajayi or whoever at second base. So yeah, I think there's, you know, a good chance that his value just keeps going down as opposed to rebounding and going back up. There's a lot of red flags here. The power's great, but the red flags certainly outweigh the green flags in the profile with Nolan Gorman. But that is going to wrap us up for today's episode. I mean, we try not to overreact too much to these, but there is some actionable stuff to be, you know, done here and analyzed. A lot of fun players off to good or bad starts so far, as we do every year. It's always a fun time to analyze, you know, early season data and make those calls as to who we're in on, who we're out on, or whatever. But that is going to wrap us up. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you check out rotoballer.com, thedicey.go.com, and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And we'll see you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.